Stop 8, the Duke of Cornwall Engine House. To get there, continue from Escott Grave towards Friars Town, ignoring the 41 sign to Spring Gully. After travelling 2 kilometres, pull up at the Duke of Cornwall sign, where the tall stone engine house is on the right side of the road. The site is on private property, so please no trespassing, and pause this till you're there. You should now be at the Duke of Cornwall engine house. That's it, that building on the right-hand side of the road. The Duke was an offshore mining company. They followed in the wake of the diggers. But before we tell that story, let's look at two of the less capitalised mining enterprises that operated in this area. First, in 1855, two sailors jumped ship in Port Melbourne and headed for the goldfields. With pick and shovel in hand, they came to Golden Gully, which is to the right of the road you've been driving along. The sailors surveyed a scene similar to Forest Creek, a tent city, occasional stone houses with bark roofs, mullock heaps and holes, and men everywhere, turning the world upside down. And the first diggers at Golden Gully, they'd found the gold lying loose on the ground, as if it had come down in the last shower of rain. The sailors, being new chums, went straight to the top and asked the government's man, Gold Commissioner Heron, where they should dig. Heron directed them to a disused hole that had bottomed, that is, a hole that had hit the clay where the gold was usually to be found, but this particular hole had been a shicer, a hole where there was no gold at all. In other words, it was crap. On the first day of swinging a pick, the sailors got 4 handfuls of blisters. On day 2, they tried to sell their claim, but found no takers. Everyone else knew it was a shicer, so they bandaged their blisters and commenced again to dig, and on day 2, they got blisters on their blisters. Come day 3, they were thinking of the ship and whether it might still be in Port Phillip, and they resolved on one last day's digging. And you know what comes next, don't you? Very soon, the pick struck something hard. A nugget of gold the size of a football. It weighed 1,008 ounces, 28 kilos, and in it were the pick marks from the blows of previous diggers who'd struck and missed. The only similarity between our Jolly Jack Tars and the Duke of Cornwall over the road was that both, you might say, were offshore enterprises. The Duke came in the 1870s, 20 years after the big nugget had been dug up by the lucky sailors. But there was more gold to be found in the old creek beds buried deep under the earth, and that's where the Duke of Cornwall was heading. The Duke was a company floated in England. In this engine house was a 25-inch cylinder Cornish beam engine, a large crushing battery, and several large furnaces. The prediction was the Duke would show the locals a thing or two. And he set up here because, situated to the left of the road, where you can see those piles of mullock heaps, was the Mosquito Mine, operated by the Rowe brothers. According to a journalist who visited in 1870, the Mosquito Mine wasn't doing too badly.
For 9 years, its owners have been working steadily on, declaring large dividends every month, and now they have every chance of becoming something very like millionaires. I'm prepared to believe almost everything of this claim, especially as I've heard of a Ballarat victor being helped away breathless with astonishment at what he had seen, and it takes a great deal to make a Ballarat speculator breathless.
Indeed. And so, like Goliath, the Duke of Cornwall set up next door and sunk a shaft for the underground rivers of gold, and they found nothing. They may have missed by a metre or a mile, but the investors' money went down the shaft and none of it came back up again. In 1875, the Mosquito purchased the Duke for £1,850, and the Mount Alexander Mail called it the cheapest mine and plant ever sold in the district. And what did they leave behind? Well, on one side, the Duke of Cornwall left us this building, a cathedral to the Industrial Revolution, you might say, and on the other, the Mosquito Mine left a pile of mullocks, rocks and dirt. And the sailors, they called their find Heron's Nugget, after the Gold Commissioner who had unwittingly directed them to their fortune. The sailors dashed back to Melbourne, sailed for England with the nugget. To show the folks back home, they said, what could be found on the Victorian goldfields? It was the biggest nugget ever found on the Mount Alexander goldfield, or at least the biggest ever declared, and were it here today, you'd need a spare $10 million to buy it. And this road, of course, has since been put between the two, and it's the road to our next stop, Friarstown and Murdering Flat, where a particular gambling game was christened Two Up. Directions are on track 9.